in our study. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Acts chapter number 20, the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. You got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And the next book is the book of Acts. And we're going to be studying our passage of Scripture there as we really kick off somewhat of a brand new series on the disciples' generosity. And we really want to focus on the life of a disciple and how we are to live generously as followers of Christ. And really, I want to focus on this morning the blessing of giving. And there is a huge blessing in giving. In fact, do you know that every disciple is called to give? If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, the Bible teaches us that as followers of Jesus, we are to be giving. And in every area of life, we are to be givers. Now, if there's one word that characterizes Jesus Christ, it would be the word give. All his life, he was about giving. He says in Luke chapter 19, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And we find that Jesus was all about giving in his life here on earth. He left heaven so that he could give us salvation through his blood on the cross. And so we find that Jesus' life reflected giving. And as followers of Jesus, we are to reflect that same character, that trait, that same reality of giving in our lives. Now, we are to give, the Bible teaches us, in every area of life, whether that's our talents, because God has given us different talents, whether that is in our time, and God has given us life, he's given us health, and he's given us time then to serve him, to give towards him and for him. And whether that be our treasures, he's blessed us with much in our lives. He's blessed us, many of us at least in here, with a home. He's blessed us with maybe a vehicle. He's blessed us with clothes. He's blessed us in so many ways. And so we are to give in every area of life that God has blessed us in. I love what the missionary Jim Elliot said. He was a missionary to the Alca Indians in Ecuador, and he said this. He lived in the 50s, and he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And any time that you are giving to God, you're actually gaining, not losing. Now, I want us to notice the passage that we're going to be studying this morning in Acts chapter number 20. We're going to read from verse 28 down to verse number 35. And the context of what's happening here is the Apostle Paul is speaking to the pastors and leaders of the church of Ephesus. This is probably the last time that Paul will see them in his life. And this is a church that he founded. This is a church that he was the one that reached many of these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He trained them in the ministry. And now he is going to Jerusalem, and he knows that God has called him to go to Jerusalem. He is going to give an offering that was raised for the church at Jerusalem. And as he is going, he knows there's a lot of danger there. And so before he leaves, he wants to give kind of his last words to the leaders and the pastors of Ephesus, just in case he doesn't ever make it back. And these are the words that he shares. Notice what he says in verse number 28 of Acts 20. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul, talking for the last time to these pastors, shares to them the really heart of ministry. Though he's reminding them of their responsibilities to feed the flock, to protect the flock, though he's reminding them of their responsibilities as leaders in the church, he's really pointing to the fact that as a leader, they are to be giving. And there's different areas that he hits about serving God as leaders in the church that they are to be giving in. And so this passage, though, he is sharing responsibilities, though he's giving them what his last words are of encouragement, his last words of warning, his last words of love. He's also speaking about the entire philosophy of just giving. You know, as pastors, as leaders, we are called to be servants of God. In fact, the scriptures sometimes give that description of pastors. They are God's ministers or God's servants. But you know that servanthood in the Christian life is not only designated to pastors. Some people have the philosophy, well, the pastor should do everything in the church. I mean, after all, he's the pastor. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible teaches us that if you are a follower of Christ, you are also called to be a servant. Your responsibilities might differ from that of the pastor. Sure, you come to church and you may not be the one that's going to be preaching every Sunday morning, yet you are called to serve God in the local church. We are all called to be servants of God. And part of that servanthood, I mean, when you think about what it requires to be a servant, it requires someone to be a giving person. No servant has ever been able to serve and be selfish at the same time. True servanthood, and I'm talking about true servanthood. I'm not talking about doing something. Yes, somebody can do something nice for selfish reasons. That's beyond debate. Of course you can do that. But I'm talking about true servants of God. If you're going to be a true servant of God and really give yourself to serving God and giving to others, you cannot do that while truly being selfish at heart all of your life. You're going to have to become a giving person if you're really, truly going to serve God in a way that would honor and glorify and please him. And so in this passage, as we study it, we find at the end, at verse 35, that Jesus said something that was very interesting that Paul wanted to highlight in his last words to these men. He says, I just want you to remember that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in the world in which we live, this almost sounds like an oxymoron, right? It almost sounds as something that is contradictory, right? Most of the time, most people are most happy receiving than giving. For example, if you had $1 million in the bank, you'd probably be more happy getting another $1 million than giving away all of the $1 million you have, right? Most people would look at it that way, and there's a natural view of that that makes a lot of sense, right? To be blessed in the Bible, this word in the Greek means to be happy or joyful. So God is saying there's more joy in giving than receiving, and yet our experience sometimes tells us, man, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't line up with what I've experienced. Right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you have a job today and you ever look at your pay stub or you get to the end of the year, there's not a whole lot of joy paying your taxes. Not a whole lot of joy when you get stopped by the police paying the ticket. Not a whole lot of joy sometimes in giving that money to some entity. We don't have that joy many times. And so we can read something like what Jesus said and go, well, that, I don't know. It doesn't always make sense. I mean, is it really always a blessing to give than to receive? Because not always joyful giving to those things that Pastor's talking about. He's right. So then when is it really more blessed to give than to receive? What is Paul talking about? What was Jesus talking about when he says that? Because really, not all giving is joyful giving. As I said, whenever you're paying a debt you owe, that's not always a joyful giving. Sometimes it's like, I have to. Sometimes that pressure is on you, right, month to month, and you already know, man, the water bill's coming. light bill's coming. You're not looking at that with joy, right? You got $500 in the bank and you know that the light bill is going to be $400. You're like, oh my goodness. We got $100 to buy groceries and to make sure the gas is good in the car. And you're already doing that. And suddenly all this pressure is on you all month to kind of figure out. And there's not a whole lot of joy there giving some of that money out. So when Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive, when Paul is using this in this context, what is he talking about? How is it that it's more blessed to give than to receive? Well, in the context of this passage, Paul is talking about what we give to God. As you give to God, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, there's no regret, and there ought to be no regret when you give to God, as opposed to when you give to everything else and everyone else. There's actually a lot of joy in giving when that giving goes to your Savior, to the Creator, to our God. There's a lot of joy in that. But how do we experience that joy? How do we give to a point where we can feel like we are happy in that giving and joyful in that giving? Well, I think as we look in this passage, there's some truths that Paul talks about in these words that I think I want to just highlight this morning that I think help us to see what kind of giving really brings joy. To where at the end we can say, you know, truly, I think it is true. I've experienced this in my life. It is more joyful, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to notice then that if we're going to be joyful in giving, then we must understand that giving is joyful when we give sacrificially. When we give sacrificially. You see, Paul is challenging in verse 28 and 29. He's challenging the pastors here to be the type of giving pastor that is giving of himself totally. He says that they are to be aware and beware, be alert of the dangers around them. He says, look, I know that you need to take heed, because the moment I leave, there's going to be these ravenous wolves, these dangerous wolves, these people that are going to come in, and they're going to try to make you doubt the Bible. They're going to really try to make you doubt what I have taught you, and you need to be aware of that. He says you need to understand that if you're going to give yourself to this task, then you need to give yourself sacrificially, and that means a total giving of yourself. You see, giving sacrificially means that we are willing to put ourselves at risk. Paul says you're going to be out there. You're going to be one that is combating false doctrine. You're going to be one that is combating those dangers that are out there. And we're going to have to understand that if we're going to give sacrificially, we must be willing to put ourselves at risk. Now, we should always be willing to put ourselves at risk for the truth. And it seems like more and more these days, if you've noticed, that standing for truth is riskier and riskier. I mean, if you're going to stand for truth baking cakes, there's some risk there. If you're going to stand for truth in your workplace and try to have a time of prayer, whether it's on your lunch break or whether it's in at a certain time of the day, there's risk. There was a story, I don't know how many years, maybe 2-3 years ago in England, where a lady was silently praying in her mind. And a police officer said, what are you doing as you're walking? And she said, I'm just praying in my mind. And he arrested her for that. There's a risk in standing up for the truth. Yet Paul says, if you're going to find joy in giving to God, then you got to be willing to put yourself out there and be at risk. Because that's really giving sacrificially. Joy comes when you give sacrificially. Notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I put this in your note, verse 2 and 3, talking about the church in Macedonia, Paul said this, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, he says, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Notice that it started, before they even started giving, it was of themselves, they said. Well, said, I can bear record, I can give testimony to this fact. That is where their giving started. The joy in giving comes when we give sacrificially. But not only does this mean that we are to put ourselves at risk, but it also requires us to believe wholeheartedly. You know, if we're going to give sacrificially, we can't do it while at the same time doubting if what we are giving to is true. Paul was asking these men to stand up to those who would be perverting the truth or changing the message. And if we're going to give sacrificially, it does require courage, but it also requires us to really believe what the message is. I think so many times as Christians, the reason we don't really share our faith is because we're wondering what we really believe about our faith. I think sometimes we don't really want to talk about the Bible in the workplace because we feel like, I don't know if I can really trust it. I mean, I know the pastor said it, maybe he believes it, but I don't know, do I believe it? You see, giving sacrificially to God requires that you believe totally what God is saying. Because if you don't, why sacrifice? Why give more and beyond? The Christians in Corinth that Paul was challenging and giving, he looked at the Christians in Philippi and in the province of Macedonia, and he said they gave of themselves willingly. And then they gave liberally. They gave beyond even their own measure. They wanted to go above and beyond what was required in giving. Why? Because they believed it. It requires us to wholeheartedly believe. The secret of finding joy in giving in your life comes when you give sacrificially. Putting yourself at risk for criticism and mockings, and put yourself at risk for people denying you and hating you. But also, it requires you to believe it then, wholeheartedly. Without believing it, you won't put yourself at risk and you won't give sacrificially and you'll never experience that joy. You might come to church and you might hear and you might sing and you might enjoy the service and the atmosphere, but you'll never experience true joy in giving. Because to do that, it requires you and I to give sacrificially. Let me give you a second one, and that is, if we're going to find joy in giving, then we have to also give consistently. Notice in verse 31 what Paul says. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. For 3 years, he was consistently giving of himself over to them. Our giving brings joy to us when we become disciples that begin to give consistently. Now, once again, Paul, in the context here, is talking about giving his time, giving of himself to the ministry, but we can tie that into giving every area of our life. And giving, to find joy in it, requires you and I to do it consistently. Now, we do this, we give consistently when we are growing in our spiritual life. Notice it in verse 32, Paul says this. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to grow you. You know, if you're giving consistently, then Paul says, then the word of God will begin to build you up. That giving consistently helps you in finding that joy, and you won't become lax in these areas of your life. You won't become neglectful of it. Paul says, I'm commending you to the grace of God, because the grace of God will keep you consistent in this area of your life of giving. The grace of God will build you up as you are giving of yourself day and night. For 3 years, he says, day and night. I didn't cease. I didn't stop of warning you, of teaching you, of crying for you, of thinking about you, of praying for you. 3 years. Listen, sometimes it's hard to even remember to pray for somebody for 3 days in a row. Did it for 3 years. Why could he say, man, remember what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive? Because he had learned in his life, hey, if you're going to experience that joy, you need to start giving consistently. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's no hardships. In those 3 years, Paul experienced a lot of hardships. Being arrested many times, being in prison and having to go hungry many times, sometimes getting beaten. And yet, he didn't stop. Why? Because he had learned that if you're going to be joyful in giving, you got to give sacrificially, and you also have to give consistently. This requires us to be growing in our spiritual life, but we also give consistently when we remember our inheritance. When we remember our inheritance. Paul reminds the leaders of their inheritance in Christ and in salvation. The inheritance that we've received in Christ is the forgiveness of sin. It's new life. And notice that he says this in verse number 32, the grace of God. I commend you to the word of his grace and to an inheritance among all which are sanctified. In other words, when you remember what God did for you, then you're going to want to share that with others. And that's when giving gets joyful. That's when you become blessed in giving. Paul said, just don't forget that it's by the grace of God that you've been changed, the grace of God that starts to build you up spiritually, and it's in that inheritance that you go and share with others. You become a blessing to those that have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and to those that have in your church. That says you become a blessing and you feel that joy when we remember our inheritance. Now, this is what happens when you and I begin to really expand in our giving. There is a tithe that the Bible teaches. And in the New Testament, they practiced it, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, but or 2 Corinthians 16, 1. But also, not only did they practice that, but they went beyond that. See, in the Old Testament, it was required to give 10% of your income. That's what God asked the children of Israel. Put that in the law for them to do. But in the New Testament, we find that that was just the starting point of giving. In the New Testament, because we have the grace of God in us, we don't live by the law. We don't have to live by the idea that, you know what, if someone is not obeying their parents and aren't their parents, well, they're eligible for capital punishment. I mean, they can die for that. We don't live under that law anymore. We live under grace. And under grace, we have the power to do more. We have the power now to glorify God, to live for God, to walk in his ways. Why? Because of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and allows us to do a whole lot more. And that even includes in our giving. And so 10%, well, that's the base. But when you go beyond that, like when you give to construction, what are you doing? You're giving to something that is going to be a blessing to others. It's the inheritance that he's talking about in verse 32 there. It's going beyond that. When you give to missions, it's taking that that I've been blessed with and going more and beyond it. Someone has described it as either being a river or a reservoir. The difference is that the water that comes from the mountains into the river, that river just takes it to desert places and faraway places. But the reservoir, the water it receives, it just holds on to it. That's why it's better and cleaner to drink river water, that good, clean water that's flowing through. There's something that is a huge difference between being a river and a reservoir. The Christian life, when it comes to giving and giving consistently, it's talking about, okay, yeah, there's what we give to God that, yes, is taught to us in the Word of God, but we ought to give way beyond that. Why? Because the secret of joy in giving is found there. You know, in the Old Testament, they don't really focus on, and if you read the book of Deuteronomy, where you find a lot of the law, and the book of Exodus, you don't find that Moses talked a lot about joy of giving. He talks about giving. He said, if you do this, this is a sacrifice you have to give. If you've sinned against God in this way, this is a sacrifice you have to give. If you're going to go to the temple, this is the tax that you're going to have to give. And they talk about giving. But in the New Testament, it's all about joyful giving. And that joyful giving came because of the giving of consistently going further and beyond. That's why when we give here, that's what we look to give. We want to give remembering our inheritance, of trying to be that blessing to others as God has blessed us. That's why we give to missionaries. In our church, we give to missionaries that are in Panama, some that are in Venezuela, some that are in Cape Verde, which is in Africa. We've had him, our missionary, here with us. We give to missionaries and ministries in Mexico. We give to some in Egypt. We give to some in Turkey. We literally give to ministries and pastors and families around the world that are taking the gospel. Why? Because we want to experience the joy of giving in this church. And you only can experience giving joyfully when you're giving consistently, when you're giving sacrificially. Paul is just reminding these pastors in Ephesus, when you give of yourself, give sacrificially. When you're giving of yourself, give consistently. When you're giving of what God has blessed you with, give it. Don't keep it. I like a quote that I heard from John Maxwell. He says this. He says, "The success of my day is determined by the seeds that I sow, not the harvest that I reap." I love that quote. I'm going to say it one more time. The success of my day is determined by the seeds that I sow, not the harvest that I reap. What's he talking about? Giving. So many times we measure our success in this world by getting. Did I get the promotion? Then I'm successful in life. Did I get what I wanted? Did I buy what I wanted? Did I get something? That's success. But the Bible says success is really in what you give. Now, what do you get? So if you're going to find joy, if you're going to really experience the truth of what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, you're going to have to understand he's talking about giving to God, and it's more blessed or happy or joyful to give to God when you give sacrificially and when you give consistently. Let me give you a third one of this morning really quick, and that is when you give generously. In verse number 33, notice Paul says, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." What's he talking about? The generosity in his giving. Now, how do we give generously? How do I give generously? Well, number one, when you give all of that you have. Now, I know this sounds simple, but sometimes giving can be looked upon as only one area of life or one amount. We kind of think about, oh, well, the church is always asking for people to give. And when you hear that, people are always automatically saying, oh, that's money. By the way, I always find it a little bit comical that they say that about the church, but they never say that about the restaurant that they go to every week. Never say that about the doctor's office that they visit when they're sick. They never say that about anything else in life, about the game that they go to on a Saturday night or on a Sunday. They never say anything about that. They're just always, the church is always asking for money. How about the government? How about everything else in this life? By the way, they charge a whole lot more. You know, our church here, you can come and you can enjoy an air-conditioned area. You can have a seat. You can hear the song singing. We don't charge you a dime. You can go and get a coffee if you're a guest. And we say, please, get a coffee for your whole family. Get a latte, frappe, whatever you want. We're not charging you here. Because our church is all about money. No, no, the world is all about money. Church is all about giving. Do you know that those of us as members that give to this church, we give because we want to make sure the lights are on so that when people come, there's lights on. And there's air conditioning. And that there's a building. So people can hear the word of God, so people can understand what the Bible says and what God wants from us in our life. That's why we give. Church is all about giving. But one thing that we focus on is giving generously. Giving generously. Well, you say, Pastor, how do you give generously? Because we give all that we have. All that we have. I read a story of an old carpenter, Russell Herman. He died at the age of 67, and this came out in 1994. It was in the Chicago Tribune, and it was amazing what he left in his will. In his will, he wanted the distribution leave a distribution of more than $2 billion for the city of East St. Louis and Chicago, and another $1.5 billion for the state of Illinois. He wanted to leave $2.5 billion for the National Forest System. And then he, in his will, said he was going to leave $6 trillion to the government to pay off its national debt. Now, while Russell Herrmann sounds very generous in his will, the reality is that when he died at the age of 67, all he had was a 1983 Oldsmobile. It's the only asset he had. Trying to give what he did not have. Giving generously as Christians isn't giving what we don't have, it's giving what we do have. But he is going to be asking you for $1 billion because you probably don't have $1 billion. I don't have $1 billion. So God's not asking me for $1 billion. But he is asking me for what I have. Let me tell you, where I find joy in giving to God is when I give to him generously. Not selfishly, not as little as I can give, but rather giving generously. That's why Paul said in verse 33, I haven't coveted this. I've not desired somebody's silver, somebody's gold, or somebody's apparel. That's not been what my ministry's been about. It's not what God called me to do. I've been called to give. And to give generously. But there's something else that comes with giving generously. It's not just giving all that God has blessed me with, but giving in all different ways. I'm going to give you just this thought. When I read verse 33, this thought came to me, and I found it to be very interesting. But notice that he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You see, I think that it's interesting that he uses three descriptions for giving there of valuable things. Now, let me ask you, what is more valuable, silver or gold? If you just look on your Google, you'll know that gold is way more valuable than silver. Right? Though silver has some value, gold has more value. And then when you look at different companies, you'll find that clothing companies have the highest markup from almost anything that you buy. Usually shirts can maybe cost $5 to make, but depending on what the name brand is on the back, it could be $100 to buy. Huge markup. So apparel has a lot of value. I think it's interesting that Paul says, I haven't coveted anyone's silver, gold, or apparel. In other words, I haven't coveted anything from anyone, because when we give generously, we give of everything that we have, whether it's silver that has some value, or gold that has even more value, or apparel that even has more value. Giving in all different kinds of ways. Saying, okay, yeah, I can give sometimes my silver and gold, but sometimes I need to give more than that. Sometimes it is apparel. In James chapter 2, James was illustrating this for his church and his congregation, and he talked about that in James chapter 2, and he talked about, listen, how does it help if when somebody comes, they're cold and they're naked, and they say, hey, I'm cold and naked, and I'm in need, and you say, oh, man, I'm going to be praying for you. God bless you. Have a good one. And you don't even clothe them. Said, you've not given generously. You haven't given anything. Oh, I gave him my blessing. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Giving generously is giving of what you have. And it's giving in all sorts of ways. Find that Paul was teaching them this. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, Paul writes, since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm. This is the church of Corinth, your love from us. I mean, you see this was a church that had a lot to offer. He says, now I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Also, we ought to give in all kinds of ways. Yeah, we're giving in our knowledge. We're giving in what we can do for others. We're giving in our faith. But we also ought to give in what God has blessed us with. Valuable things that God has given us. Why? Because there is where you find joy. There is where we can understand when Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. What is he talking about? He's talking about giving to God. How can I feel that joy giving to God? Well, when you give sacrificially, when you give consistently, when you give generously, you begin to feel the joy. You can say, you know what? It is more blessed. It is joyful to give. It's just more joyful to give than even to receive. I'm going to give you the last one, verse 34, 35, and that is, if you're going to find joy in giving, you must give purposefully. That's giving with purpose. Now notice that Paul says in verse 34, yea, you yourselves know that these hands, said, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Notice, giving purposefully brings joy in our hearts. Now, if we're going to give purposefully, then we must know and see the needs that are around us. We must see the needs that are around us. Paul says, I've used my hands for my own necessities. Obviously, he was a tent maker. And so he would make tents to make ends meet so he could buy food and make sure that he was paying anything that he needed to buy, clothes and other things. But he said, yeah, I've used my hands for my necessities, but I've also used them to meet the needs of others. Giving purposefully is seeing that there's needs in life other than our own needs. Paul says, you want to experience joy in giving, start seeing who is in need around you. Now, by saying this, I'm not saying that you got to be all up in somebody's business. Oh, what's your bank account like? Let me see. What's your house like? Let me see. I'm not saying, that's not what Paul is saying. That's not what the Bible's teaching. But what it is teaching is be aware. Do you know there are people sitting in this auditorium that are in need? And what we need to be doing as Christians is saying, well, what is the need that's there? I mean, we all have needs, but what is a need that I can help somebody else with? I can't meet everyone's needs. Only God can. But I can meet somebody's needs, right? There's at least one person I can help. I might not be able to help everyone in here, but there's at least one person I can help. Well, how do you know what one person you can help? By being aware of what maybe some needs are in their life. James 2:15, as I said, there it's in your notes. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm, eat well. Then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? What good is that? That's not going to lead you to experience joy in giving. Pastor, how can I do that? Then give. Give sacrificially and consistently. But you also need to give purposefully. So not only do we give purposefully by seeing the needs around us, but we also give purposefully by remembering the truth of this principle. He says, and remember, in verse 35, the words of Jesus Christ. Why do we have to remember? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget this principle, this truth. It's greater to joy to give than to receive. I remember, it's been years now ago, I was down on the mission field in a country, and I had a pastor that was really gracious, allowed me to go and preach. He asked me to come preach at his church. It was on a Sunday morning. I went and I preached at his church, and I tried when I go, especially on the foreign field in a different country, I try to take money with me that I can give to the pastor just to be a blessing, just to be a help, and I did that for this pastor. And then while I was there at the church, he began to share a little bit of what they needed. He had a school there in his church, and he was just talking about different needs. They needed some computers and things for their school, and you know, in Latin America, it's not like there's a ton of money. And so I told him, you know, Pastor, when I get back, I'm gonna share this with a few friends. I'm gonna share it with my Sunday school class, and we're gonna try to send you an offering. We want to just be a blessing. And so we did. I came back. At that time, I was teaching the College and Career. There was only like six or seven of us, and we were able to raise a little over $700 to send him. And I sent him money, and I called him. I said, just some of our college students wanted to sacrifice. They want to be a blessing to your church. And when I shared with them what was happening, and they responded, and we just want to know that we love you. We want to give in a way that would be purposeful, and we just want you to have that. I said, okay. About 2 years later, I come to find out that he was talking about our ministry, about this church. He wasn't saying nice things about this church. He was talking about how we've gone away from living graciously and gone away from living the truth of the Bible and gone away from standing for what is right and gone away from following after Christ. And he began to attack me personally and saying some different things about my life, my personal life, that he doesn't know anything about. Yet he was sitting there saying all of these things. And I remember when I heard this, another pastor told me, you know, I just want you to know that this pastor's saying this and this about you. And I remember my first thought, man, wish I hadn't given that guy a dime. I deserve nothing. What a jerk. Like I give personally to the guy. I come on. I have friends that sacrifice. Our Sunday school class did everything that we could to help the guy. And that's what the guy repays us with. And later that week, as I was stewing about that, the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart and my mind. And began to say, really, Jer? You're going to allow the devil to steal your joy? What were you giving for anyway? So that he could just praise you? So he could say how great your church was? Well, I mean, what was the offering all about anyway? Man, I was so convicted. I thought, man, how could the devil just, man, he tricked me so well. And he tricked me so well because I had forgotten the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is only true when you give with a purpose, God's purpose. Not your own purposes, not for your own glory, but for his glory. And I'll tell you what, I don't regret giving that man the money. I don't regret sending that church the money. Yeah, they may not like us. They may talk about it. It's okay. It's not for you. It's for God's work. It's okay. By the way, whatever you say about me, there's probably some truth in it. I am just a sinner. I wish I could say I don't have that kind of nature, but I do. Sometimes we become Christians and we go to church so much, we think that we are just amazing, you know, saints. No. We are saints because we've been forgiven. Paul used to say, where would I be without the grace of God? That's why giving purposefully brings joy. It brings joy. That's why you got to remember the truth of the principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This morning, in this life of a disciple, having generosity is so important. And if we're going to have blessings in our generosity, if we're going to experience that, we must understand there's a way to give to experience that joy. There is what we have to give to experience that joy. Every disciple is called to give. How do you find joy in giving? Number one, when you give sacrificially to God. Number two, when you give consistently to God. Number three, when you give generously, going far beyond what God has blessed you with, you find joy. When you give purposefully, seeing the needs around you and remembering the principle is much more joyful to give than to receive, then you will experience the reality of that truth. And this morning, I just want to encourage us to be disciples that are experiencing a life of generosity. There's huge blessings in giving. We've got to give the right way to the right person. I pray that each and every one of us will decide this week, God, help me to be generous as a disciple. Help me to experience that truth that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for this simple truth, a truth that we've probably heard many times if we've been in church. It's probably a truth that sometimes is easy to forget. Oh, but how important it is for us as your followers to live this truth out. The impact that it has and the difference that it can make in our own lives is huge. Father, I pray that this morning as we've studied your word, we've been able to see that joy in giving can only come when we give as your word teaches. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to apply these truths in our giving. Help us this week to sacrificially give to others, to you. Help us to give consistently, Father, remembering that it was by your grace that we've been saved and forgiven. It's by your grace that we've been blessed, and that inheritance of new life should lead us to give more to others and to share in that inheritance. Help us to give generously, not to be giving little but much, giving in every different way, whether that's in our silver, gold, or apparel, whether that's in what we have at home, whether that's what we have at work, whether it is something that comes unexpectedly. Help us to just give generously. Then help us to always give purposefully. Open our eyes to the needs around us. Help us to have our ear to the ground, to just know how it is that we can be a blessing to others. And then, Father, I pray that we'd never forget this principle. Help us to live by it and help us to really experience the joy of what it teaches. Be with us, I pray, in this area of our life. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.